Numbers 13. We're going to read this in a second, but in the context of renewing the mind tonight, we're going to be talking about how renewing the mind is related to your identity or how you see yourself.
Amen.
How you see yourself.
Amen.
And when we talk about how we talk about our identity, we're talking about who or what we allow to define who we are.
Amen. That's right.
Now listen very carefully. That'll help you throughout the whole service. When we talk about identity, we're talking about who or what you allow to define who you are or what you are.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of people let a lot of different things define who they are. But God has a image of you. He has an identity of you. He sees you a particular way. And the way He sees you is the right way.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that see you in a lot of different ways.
Amen.
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 Jesus in His own hometown wasn't received there. They didn't identify Him for who He really was. You know what I'm talking about. And it kept them from receiving Him there. I have many people in my life that receive me in many different ways. And, you know, some in the ministry offices that we stand in, some in lower offices, some in the other offices, some in just in the flesh. They just see us in the flesh. And each of them get exactly what they see me as. You know what I'm talking about. But I don't really care. My identity is not based on how they see me. When I'm around somebody that knows me after the flesh, I don't start seeing myself after the flesh. My identity has been engrafted into me from the Word of God, which is God telling me who I am.
Amen.
And to be honest with you, remember the Bible says, James chapter 1, verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted Word is the Word that gets in you and goes with you when you're done looking at the Word. It's not any longer just something you're conscious of when you're looking at the Word. It's something that now you're conscious of when you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sticks with you.
Yeah. Yes,
and it gets on the inside of you and changes your inner image of you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, we have to also see God as who He is. And we have to see the devil as who he is. We have to see one another for who we one another are. The Bible says to know no man after the flesh. Amen. So I can't know you after the flesh and be scriptural. Meaning your faults and your fleshly shortcomings and so forth and so on. That doesn't mean we don't see them. It's just that we decide to know that's not who the real, that real new person that's born again, that's not who they really are. Hallelujah. That'll fix so many relationships. So many relationships. So we're going to talk about this. We're talking about who or what you allow to define what you are or who you are. And how many of you know if you have been maybe in the past, maybe as a child, maybe whatever, in a former marriage or something like that, if you've been in some way abused and you let that define you as a victim, you are identifying yourself as a victim. That has defined who you see yourself as. Amen. We're going to get to a verse here in a minute that talks about this. But I want you to see that many people have never taken the time to get victimhood washed out of them by renewing their mind and letting the truth restore their souls. Your spirit man was born again and he's brand new and he has the image of God.
That's right. Amen.
Colossians 3. Verse 10, you ought to write it down, talks about us being renewed in knowledge after the inward man is renewed in knowledge. Talking about the spirit man. He's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Amen.
Get a hold of that revelation. That's talking about your spirit man has a new knowledge.
Amen.
He's got the knowledge of God.
Yes.
That's why whenever you read the Word and see what God says, it bears witness with your spirit because your spirit man knows that.
Amen.
But see, what we got to do is renew our mind with it.
Yep.
in our psyche with it, so to speak. Because it's not necessarily who we are that determines the direction we go in life or what we have in life. It's who we see ourselves as. You can be something that you don't see yourself as, and so therefore never experience it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There are multitudes of people living in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, where opportunity has its head stuck out at every corner going, hello, hello, right here I am. But they see themselves as a victim. Somebody treated me wrong. Nobody gives me a break. I can't. I don't have any time for that anymore. I just don't have time for that anymore. If you want to talk that way, go outside, get it out of you, and then come back and talk to me. I love you, but I don't want to hear that. Tell me the truth about it. You know what I'm talking about? I want to hear the truth. Anyhow. So, like I said, if somebody's done you wrong, maybe in a marriage or, you know, maybe as a child, sexually or physically or whatever, and you let that define who you are, then you are identifying yourself as a victim. In other words, that's what's forming your identity. In other words, you've authorized that to form your identity rather than who God says you are. Amen. Now look here in Numbers 13, verse number 33. You know this story. This is when the children of Israel, Moses sent in spies. I shouldn't say God told him to, but Moses did it. Sent in spies to spy out the land. You remember they came back, 12 spies. 10 of them came back with an evil report. 2 of them came back. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. And those that came back with the evil report said a lot of unbelief, exactly against what God had said. But they said in verse 33, there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now underline that we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We've shared on this before, but let's look at this again tonight. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. What is that? That's their own self-image. We were in our own sight. What were they able to do with that self-image? Nothing. It killed their faith. Stopped them in their tracks. And they could go no further or do anything God says was theirs or have anything God says was theirs because that was the limiting factor. That's what whooped them. Not the giants, not the walled cities, not the chariots of iron. None of that whooped them because the next generation went in and defeated it all.
That's right.
What whooped them was the way they saw themselves. They did not take what God said they were able to do and say, we're well able to go up and possess it. They did not put God's image of who they were in them. They had an old, distorted, deceiving self-image that Satan had put in them. And Satan works overtime to put the wrong image inside of you. If this is not a big deal, why does he work so hard to get this on the inside of us? Amen. I'll tell you why he does, because it is a big deal. Amen. Amen. What do I mean it's a big deal? I mean it's a big deal to your faith. Yes. It's a big deal to you having what God says you can have. There are people that have had the same things happen to them as people that make themselves, that go around talking about how much of a victim they are all the time, and are limited by it. There are people that have had the same things happen and worse, but they decided that's not who I am. They wouldn't let that, whether it was an abuse or something, they wouldn't let that define them. Whether it was a failure financially, you know, they invested some money and lost it all. Satan's after, he's after your finances, but he's after something much more than that. He's after how you see yourself, and he, as a result of that failure, He's trying to not only cause you to fail, he's trying to get failure on the inside of you so that now you see yourself as a failure, because whenever you see yourself as that, now he's got you whooped not only once, but for the rest of your life. He's got you whooped. He's got you right where he wants you.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, I'm going to preach this like it came to me this afternoon. This is a real big deal. He tries to distort your self-image by different things. Failures of the past, the way somebody thinks about you, the way somebody treats you, talks about you. How about just condemnation? He tries to use condemnation to just tell you that you're a failure. You're not valuable. You're not as valuable in the kingdom of God as somebody else. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. It can seem so real. And we're going to talk about some of this tonight. We'll get into this part a little bit later. It can seem so real because inner images create inner realities. Inner images, well, I'll put it this way. Inner images can make it seem very real. I'll say it this way to kind of help divide inner images can make something seem very real, but it not be reality.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean not be reality? Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." You know, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you look up the word truth, it means reality. Amen. So when we say reality, we're saying it's not true. But it can seem, the devil can bring all sorts of feelings, influences, impulses, emotions to try to get you to believe that it is reality. All sorts of thoughts and condemnation and thoughts of being a victim and thoughts of being a failure, thoughts of being weak, thoughts of being, just on and on and on. Satan works overtime in all these areas. And he can make it feel so real. And yet it not be reality, it not be true.
Amen.
Let me give you an example. Do you remember Brother Hagin telling the story about whenever he was on the sick bed, and even after he got saved, before he got a hold of the message of faith there, Mark 11, 23 and 24, you remember how he said how that Satan kept showing him dying. He kept showing him them having his funeral. He saw everyone that was the pallbearer. He saw the church. He saw the service. And then he saw them picking up the casket and taking the casket outside and putting it in the ground and putting the dirt over it. And then the rain falling on it and the seasons going by, the snow falling on it, and then the leaves. And he saw the little flowers coming up. And he said Satan gave him that picture over and over and over again. Y'all with me tonight? But the point is, why was Satan doing that? What was Satan doing? He was working on his image. Working, trying to get a false image on the inside of him so that he could deceive him. Say deceive him. And number two, defeat him. Why has he worked so hard to do things like that? Because obviously he cannot defeat you yet until you accept that. Why does he work on you in those areas and not just go ahead and do it? Why has he got to work on you? Why doesn't he just do it? Here's a revelation that'll set you free. He can't. Okay. Get a hanky for them. They need to know when to shout. He can't do it yet. That's why he's working on you, because he's got to get that image on the inside of you. Get you to accept that so that he can do it. Otherwise, if he was so big and bad, you need to ask him sometime, why don't you just go ahead and do it? You're so big and bad. Why don't you go? He can't, because he's got to get it in you before he can do it. And that's what he was working on with Brother Hagin. And to Brother Hagin, it seemed so real. He could see it happening, you know. It was very real to him. He had all the feelings, all the emotions and so forth. Made it feel real. But you see, there are There are, Satan can bring influences to bear on your consciousness, try to make you accept these things. And that's what he did with Israel. He made them here see themselves the way Satan wanted them to see themselves. As soon as he got them to see themselves the way Satan wanted to see them, he stopped them in their tracks. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, open the eyes of our heart to receive and understand what we're talking about tonight. Oh, my. Amen. And so it was very real, but he wants to get us to accept it. But although it seems so real to Brother Hagin, how many of you know it was not reality because he went to live to 86 years old and tread the devil down for 86 years?
Hallelujah.
But it was very real at that age, him dying at the age of 17.
Yeah, come on.
Those pictures weren't of him living out his life and then dying. They were of him dying at the age of 17.
Yeah.
It seems so real, but it was not reality. You got to get a hold of that. There are things that seem so real. I can't. I can't have my business. I can't do what's in my heart. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. That's a lie of the devil. I don't care how long it's been there. I don't care how strong it seems to be. I don't care how overpowering those feelings seem to be. It will bow to the word of God, which is God's image of you. If you'll just go ahead and start pouring the image God has of you into you, it will bow the knee. It will surrender. Praise be to God. But back there all those years ago, for example, Brother Hagin, Satan was trying to convince him of a false reality. Huh? And then when Brother Hagin decided to spend all his alert hours, because some of his hours weren't that alert. He was conscious, but he was just unable. He said partly because he would partly go blind, the incurable blood disease and so forth. And so, but he wasn't that able to read the Bible. But all his alert hours, he decided, I'm going to take all my time. He said, something just told me that my answer's in the Word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, you might say, well, that's easy, that's simple. Well, back there all those years ago, without having been taught, you don't know for sure, you know.
That's right.
But so something just told him that his answer's in the Word. So he decided to spend all, because he didn't have much time, he decided to spend all the time he had is just meditating in the Word. And his family got concerned about him. And they decided to send one of the doctors in to talk to him about it. What's Satan doing? He's still trying to keep Brother Hagin from getting the image God had of him healed. And the doctor came in, you remember the story? And he said, well, you know, you ever read any, novels, any mysteries, any of the newspaper or the funnies? That's the comics back then. And they used to call them the funny pages. I even remember us calling that the funny pages when I was growing up. After a while, you start wondering, am I old or am I not? I know I'm going to stay young. No, you're bad doctrine. But see, what was that? Satan trying again to keep him from getting the image of God, that is him healed and living out his days and finishing his course. Can you see how the devil works and works and works? This is a big deal. Satan knows it's a big deal, so he works on people to keep them from getting the image God has of them. You still out there? Now, why is Satan opposed you the same way? Because he's working on you day in and day out. If you pay attention to this, you'll be amazed at how much warfare in this area there is. Now, I don't mean you got to fight the devil. I mean Satan is coming against you, trying to get wrong images of you in there. You'll be absolutely shocked. In fact, somebody said, well, I don't think I deal with it that much. That's because you're not confronting it. That's because you're not taking the word and answering it. That's because you're already deceived. And people that are already bound by the devil in their mind, I'm talking about their mentality, they're not having problems with the devil.
That's right.
I'm talking about in their thinking. In their thinking. Well, see, Satan's already got them in their thinking, so, you know. Hello? Yeah. It's when you start deciding, I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to believe what they say. I'm not going to believe what my mama said growing up, or somebody kept telling me, you know, you're never going to amount to anything or whatever. I'm not going to believe that anymore.
Amen. That's right.
That's whenever the war is on. But blessed be God, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty. Mighty. Through God. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what?
Imagination.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Imaginations. What is that? Images. 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 What? How can you tell it's a wrong image? Casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought. Let's go back there. You got to read this. You got to read that. Read that. Oh, my. This just keeps coming to me. These verses in 2 Corinthians is where it is. Go there, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. This will set you free. You get a hold of this. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, says in verse number 3, starting in verse number 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, when he says walk in the flesh, he's not talking about being carnal. He's talking about we're in these physical bodies. We don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. People think these are in the heavenlies. But look, casting down imaginations, where's that? That's in your mind. That's in your thought life. Casting down imaginations. Now get this. And every high thing that exalts itself against what?
Knowledge.
The knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. Imaginations are things that are in opposition to the knowledge of God.
Yes.
That tells you what they are. These imaginations are false knowledge.
Yeah.
They're images Satan has put into us that are not true.
Right.
It's all in the mind. It's all in the mental arena. It's all in the imagination and the mental part of man's being.
That's right.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? Against what? The knowledge of God. So whenever Satan's working on you, he wants to get wrong knowledge in you or distort your self-image or distort the image God has of you. In other words, the way God sees you, which is reality. If you just settle that tonight, that the way God sees me is reality,
amen.
Then that'll get you a long way down the road to deciding now who I'm going to believe here.
Amen.
Who am I going to believe here?
Yeah.
But Satan wants to distort that image. He wants to twist it. You've heard us talk about, you know, the mirror at the fair. If you've ever been to the fair, they got different booths and things you can do. You know, hit the hammer, hit the bell and see if you can, hit the thing down there and see if you can ring the bell. You know, all those things. And one of them is you can go into this little place where they got all these mirrors and you can see yourself in different lights. You know, you see yourself as 6 foot tall if you're only 2.5. But I'm kidding. But no, but if you're short and you want to be tall, you can just stand in front of that mirror and it'll make you real tall. Or if you're, normal size, and you stand in front of another mirror, it'll make you look, you're like 3 feet tall and about 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
It's a distorted image.
Right.
In other words, it's not reality.
Right.
And that's what religion will do for you.
Yeah.
It'll distort the true picture of who you really are.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:18, we beholding as in a mirror the glory of God are changed.
Yeah.
Into that same
image.
Same what?
Image.
Same what?
Image.
Image. From glory to glory. You know what you're going to look, you know what you're going to turn into? You're going to turn into what you keep looking at.
That's it.
Amen.
What do you mean turn into it? Well, I'm talking about Romans 4. You remember faith calls those things that be not as though they are. Abraham, God called Abraham the father of a multitude. And he started calling himself the father of multitude that he might become the father of many nations. God said, I have made you, but he had to become who God made him.
That's right.
And he did it by calling things that be not as though they are.
Amen.
You can look in the natural and see something that you're not.
Yeah.
Look in the word and see that you are.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got to start calling that which be not as though it were.
Yeah.
And keep looking at that image, beholding as in a mirror that image. And as you keep looking and you keep calling, you will end up, notice 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, changed into the same image. Changed into the same image. In other words, you want change in your life? You got to look at the right image. You got to look at the image that's in the Word. I don't really see the Word. I shouldn't say I don't see it as the Word, because it is the Word. But I see it as the Word of, especially the epistles. To me, they are God's family photo album. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Ooh, I see me as a new creature. He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heaven. Oh, there I am. That's me. That's me. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven. That's me. That's me. There's therefore now no condemnation to the world. Oh, that's me. I see pictures of me all through the epistles. And when the devil's working on my mind, I have to go back to that image and reinforce it. I'm talking about the image in the Word. And reinforce it. And you can't. You can't conquer wrong images without the truth. You have to have weapons that are mightier than what Satan's bringing against you. And the greatest, mightiest weapon you have is the truth. Remember, God said, in Ephesians, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how you deal with these things. You take the Word and you start answering these false lying images. Hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy already. Satan doesn't want you coming out of any of the distorted self-images you have been bound with. He doesn't want you doing like Brother Hagin, treading on him for 86 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is why we're instructed to meditate in the Word day and night. It's to get the right image of yourself. How God sees you. Because words paint pictures. A good communicator will create pictures and people see pictures. They give illustrations. They give stories. Amen. That's what the Word of God is. It's God's image of you written down in words. And so when you meditate in the Word, it renews your mind. Which means replacing old distorted self-images with reality and true knowledge of who God sees you as. Forgiven. There's one to try on for size. Try it on, it fits. And boy, you look good in it. Glory! No longer where I'm just so unworthy. I've made so many mistakes. God says, what are you talking about? Didn't you ask me to forgive you? Yeah, but I just don't feel forgiven. Well, see, that's a false image. That's a false, that's a lying feeling. That's a...
Yes,
sir. Jonah called it lying vanities. Vanity is something that's empty. It doesn't have any substance to it. And that's what these things are. They're empty. They don't have any substance. Those images about Israel not being able to overcome the walled cities and giants and so forth, those images were false images.
Right.
You have to realize these things are lies. Well, I just can't do that. Who said? God said you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Well, the doctor said. Run everything he says through this. Would you do that favor for us all, please? Why are you authorizing men to form your image, form your belief over the Almighty, the Creator who knows more than they know? Amen. Now, having said that, let me say this. Are you all still out there? You have to go through a transformation process. It's called renewing the mind. Amen. To where you're no longer a victim. You no longer are bound. You no longer don't have a say. Listen to me very carefully. Some people in marriages that are abusive think they can't get out. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, but he'll hurt me or he'll do this. Call the police. You can do it. Have them show up while you're leaving. You can do what you need to do. Are you still out there? But see, anyway, I could spend more time on that. But there have been people, like I said, that have gone through worse things than you and are on the other side of it. And what they went through is not affecting them today. Amen. It's no longer defining them, and they're no longer letting that define who they are. That's the power of the truth. And that's what the Word of God does. It washes these things out of us. Amen. To where, like, that's a different person that happened to. Hallelujah. You can be so free from your past, so free from failures, so free from abuse, so free from words that were abusive spoken over you and to you over and over and over again. You can be so free from them that people almost don't recognize you. And I adjure you, go ahead and be free.
Amen.
Go ahead and be free.
Amen.
And you owe no apology to anybody for going ahead and walking on out of bondage right into liberty.
Amen.
Just hold your head up high and do it.
Amen.
Just walk right out of the devil's jailhouse. The open jailhouse.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. But these people that have lived through bad things, so forth, and haven't let it define them, they decided that something different was going to form their identity. Something different was going to be, they were going to allow something different to define who they are. They decide to not let what happened to them define who they are or to form their inner identity. They gave something else the authority to do that. Now listen very carefully. As a result, because they see themselves right, they started acting different and went forward.
Amen.
Israel saw themselves wrong and kept acting defeated. And like a victim, and stayed exactly where they were. You know what I'm talking about. They lived in that. That generation lived in that defeat for 40 years. They never progressed past anything they said, anything they saw themselves as that day.
That's right.
They stopped right there. People that decide that's not going to define what I see, what the devil's showing me as far as my self-image, what he's saying that I am is not going to, I'm not going to give that the authority to define who I am. They start acting different and progressing. They start walking right out of it. There is no power of the enemy to hold them in bondage unless they allow him to hold them in the bondage of deception. There's only one weapon Satan has in his toolbox anymore, and that's deception. I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. But before we go to that, give something other than what you went through the authority to define who you are.
Amen.
Amen. Your experiences in life only have the authority to form your inner identity if you give them that authority. But if you do, you're handing those experiences the keys to control your future and saying, go ahead and lock me up in bondage so I can't go any further. Right? You're handing that experience the keys to give it authority, see, the authority to limit you the rest of your life. The devil didn't do that. You did that. Satan doesn't have that kind of authority. He'll trick people into it and deceive them into giving him that authority, but he himself does not have that authority. I'm gonna show you that in a few minutes. Amen. You need to know you have authority to accept images or reject them. If you don't get anything else tonight, get that. You have the authority. You don't have to wait for somebody else. Oh, please tell me I'm free, or please tell me. No. Well, somebody else can help you. Don't misunderstand me. But you don't have to wait for that. You don't have to wait for somebody else's reaffirmation. You don't have to wait for somebody else to encourage you. Now, thank God for other people. But I'm simply saying you can start this washing of the water of the word process. You can start this renewing of the mind process all by yourself.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to wait for somebody to change their mind about how they see you. You don't have to wait on your family, your husband, your relative, your wife, your kids. You don't have to wait on anybody. You don't have to have anybody's approval to do it. Listen, people can do things to you and abuse you and so forth and so on. But one thing they can't do for you is put an image inside unless you authorize them to do it. You heard about the little boy that his mom said, now you go sit in that corner. Remember? He was bad. And he went over and sat in the corner and said, but I'm still standing up on the inside. She couldn't make him sit down on the inside. And the devil can't make you, listen to me, he can't make you take an image. They can try, send all kinds of devices and manipulate and control, but you decide that. Only you can give somebody authority to put things on the inside of you. Somebody said one time, I was telling my brother this, my brother and sister-in-law were here for a few days. I was telling him, that we were talking about some of these things, and I was telling him that, you know, somebody else might have planted bad seed in all of our lives, but we determine whether we water that and keep it growing to where we get a harvest off of that. That's our choice. We authorize that, or we give that seed a crop failure. You can give a crop failure to bad things people planted in you. And it almost was like, I know it was true about Pastor Debbie when I met her. Whenever it took, I don't know how long it was before I realized the stuff she had been through before she got back to God and so forth and so on. Because of the washing that had taken place. Yeah. And continues to take place in all of our lives. How many of you know when you get around that person, you don't have to jerk anymore, you know, and be fearful and be all bound up? Free! Hallelujah! Praise God. And so you need to know you have the authority to accept images or reject them. But to reject the image Satan's trying to get in you, you'll need to learn how to use the tools God made available to you to do that. And that's what we were looking at in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Remember? He said, casting down the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but they're mighty, mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These wrong images can be powerful sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? But what God's given you is more powerful. Yes, it is. And it will demolish, shred, tear up, just destroy all those insecurities and all that inferiority complex, all that fear and all that bondage, and just sets you so free. People that tried to abuse you and so forth, they get mad because you're free. But you just fly away like a bird out of a cage and turn around and go, cheep, cheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Praise God. These things can be strong, but they will bow the knee. If you'll stick with it, that's the thing. It might take weeks, it might take months. Because these imaginations weren't formed overnight. It's not like you can just have somebody lay hands on you and cast these things out. It doesn't work that way. Paul doesn't mention in 2 Corinthians 10 about casting anything out. He talks about their casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity thoughts. You can't do that by the laying on of hands. Isn't that right? And so these things can be demolished, but they take something mightier than them. And what we have, the truth of God's word, is mightier. And listen, his word has images in it. Yes, it does. Jesus found himself in the word. John the Baptist found himself in the word. You need to go find yourself. It's embarrassing when Christians say, I need to find out who I am. And so they're going to whatever, the world, to try to find out who they are. Who you are is who God said you are. That's who you are. Praise the Lord. So it might not happen overnight, but it will bow. What you have is powerful enough to cause all those things to just be washed out. And you no longer are a victim, waiting for everybody else to, you know, treat you like a victim. Amen. You're no longer a failure because of some past experiences where you failed, whether it be finances or marriage or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. These things will bow to the word if you'll stick with it. And it's worth every battle, every fight you put up to replace these things. It's worth. I don't mean you're fighting the devil, but you're casting down these imaginations. You know what I mean by that? And you do it by renewing the mind through meditating and speaking the image God has of you in his word. And you do it by calling things that be not as though they are. We mentioned that earlier. You can change your world and change your inner reality by the force of faith. Which comes by hearing the word, you understand. But you need to know the right image is produced in you by words and manifested around you through the words of faith you speak. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. When you first start confessing, like you find in the Bible, like you might start out with Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, the communication of my faith, the way it translated, the faith we share in common. I won't take time to get into how you get to that translation, but it's in the Greek. The faith we share in common is activated by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of good things in me. People say, you're no good. There's good things in me. I'm going to find out what good things are in me. Well, how many of you know you can start here? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Okay, so I got the greater one in me. So what's he in there to do? He's my helper. You find out he's your helper. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. And you just keep meditating and find out who's in you, what's in you. Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. Amen. Amen. The life of God's in me. The authority of God's in me. The name of Jesus is in me. You keep on going. Don't have time to get into all. But what I'm saying tonight is, once you find those things out, And you'll look at them in the Bible and your mind will say, that's not true about you. Well, see, that's that wrong image. I mean, somebody's lying about it. Either God or your lying mind. Which one are you going to side in with? See, that's where the battle is. So you decide, okay, I'm going to decide God told the truth about it. And so it becomes active, according to Philemon. We read it. I mean, we quoted it, I'm running out of time tonight, but this is in me, yes. And it becomes active, yes. By the acknowledging of it. Yes. That's talking about the confession of it. So I'm going to start saying it. You know, if it's something that you're just living under condemnation, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and you know, old things are passed away. Whatever, however, there's so many things that you can start saying. When you start saying those words, the Bible says it becomes active. Your faith becomes active, doesn't it? But here's something you need to understand. The first thing your faith begins to do is not change the outward circumstances. The first thing your faith begins to do is begins to work on that inner image. It says it becomes active by you saying it. But the first thing it starts working on and acting on is the inner image. You have to know that. If you don't know that, you'll wonder what's taking so long. I'm preaching better than some of you are letting on. When that begins to change, when that inner image begins to change, and you start seeing yourself the way you're actually talking, because you can say something and you don't see it. I'll prove it to you. E equals MC squared. You know, I don't have a clue what I just said. It has something to do with science or something. Amen. You can say something and you don't see what you're saying. Don't send me the equation and tell me. I can look it up. I don't. People have already done that and I already forgot. So people go home and say, Pastor, this is what it means. I don't care. I haven't needed it today. Probably won't need it tomorrow. Those that know what it means, they'll design microwaves or whatever and make stuff with it. And I'll push the button and it'll work for me. I don't care. So. But when it comes to spiritual truths, you can say things and you don't know what you're saying. You don't see it. You understand? But those words, as you speak them, the Bible says your faith becomes active. What's it doing? It's starting to create a new image of you. And whenever that starts changing, then your words take on substance. It's called light. The substance of faith is light. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it takes spiritual substance to create natural substance. Faith takes, I'm having a good service. Faith takes spiritual substance, light, and creates natural substance, experience in the natural realm. Amen. And whenever light comes, you see. When the light comes in the natural, you see. When the light comes in the spirit, you see. You see what? An image. You ever notice in James 1? It talks about, you know, we read chapter 1, verse 21. It talks about receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be not, verse 22, be not just hearers of the word, be doers thereof. Any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like a man beholding in a mirror, a glass. Notice, any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like a man beholding himself and then go and forget. When you hear, he said, you're beholding something. That means looking at something. Yes, sir. You're seeing something. Yes, sir. So spiritually, you see with your ears. Well, I just don't see it. Well, keep hearing it. And here's the best way to hear it. Say it out your mouth. There'll be a day you say it and you'll go, wait a minute. What was I thinking? Oh, wait. Did you see what that verse says? And you'll go tell somebody, did you see what that verse says? Yeah, we've been seeing it for a long time. See, now you're seeing it. Your faith was active, but it was first of all changing the image. And whenever the image changes, now your faith, your confession, I should say, takes on substance. They take on creative power. And then they begin to change. When you say it now, it begins to change things outside, change the outward circumstances. Somebody said, well, it just seems to be taking so long. Well, that's because it's working on that image. Hallelujah. Your words, first of all, can't just form a new image. They have to destroy the old one. That you formed in the dark room of Satan's deception. I was in high school, I was in photography class, and now you don't have to do this, but the old film style, you have to go into a dark room and pull the film out of that thing in the dark. You couldn't see what you're doing. Remember all that? Did you take photography class? These young guys don't know what I'm talking about. Boy, I remember whenever I used to hear old people say that, and I thought, oh, you're old. I guess I better watch it. But see, Satan formed, and what you have to do is you had to form the negative first. And you put it in the solution and you'd form the negative. Well, Satan forms his negatives in the dark room of deception. Negatives. Negatives. You can't, you don't, you're a failure. That's all negatives. But when you start speaking it, you start creating a picture and then you start forming it out here. Where did that all form? It formed in the dark. Well, I'm having a good service. So, praise God. First, your words have to destroy that old image that was formed in Satan's dark room. And then proceed and renew your mind. But see, he has to. Your words have to undo the process of conformity. Remember, be not conformed to this world, be transformed. You have to do away with the conformity and be transformed. So first of all, start doing away with the old image. Amen. One thing I appreciate about Pastor Ike is he don't see himself as a third world country person. It's not in him. He got it all out of him. Hello? It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter the income of your parents and your family for all the way back to Adam. What matters is what images you get let on the inside of you and whether you let God's word form those images or not. Amen. Okay, real quickly. I'm out of time. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 54. Hallelujah. When you speak God's word to the circumstances of your life, they'll destroy the outward experience. Isaiah 54. There is such power in his word. Amen. Boy, it transforms. It has a transformative power. But let's look real quickly at Isaiah 54. It says in verse number 17, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you're condemned. Okay, think about, it's good to stop and think about what he said. No what? No weapon. Weapon formed against you, but every tongue. So the weapons he's talking about here is something that comes off the tongue.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that's said. It's words. Okay? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is part of our inheritance. Yeah, but they said this about me. It doesn't have any power unless you believe it. Doesn't have any power unless you believe it. But they spoke something over me. They spoke failure. Their words have no power unless you accept them. Now, if you believe it and you start letting it form your identity and you start speaking it, okay, now that has power. But you gave it that authority. Remember we were talking about giving things authority? You gave it that authority. All right. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you'll condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You need to know this is your inheritance. Somebody else can't speak something and it can come to pass in your life. Your inheritance is you will decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. Well, they're a witch and they sent a curse on me. Oh, you believe that, huh? What they said had no power until you believed it. Notice something very interesting. We're almost done. We're going to close here. Did you notice Satan is the one who speaks these words and uses people to do it, by the way? Notice he didn't just say, no weapon that comes against you will prosper. Yeah, he did, Pastor. No, that's not what he said. No weapon that comes. He didn't say, no weapon that comes against. No, he said, no weapon that is formed. Formed. Y'all still with me? I'm almost done. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Why did he say these weapons that are formed against you? Because he doesn't have any. Satan stripped him of all his weapons. I mean, excuse me. Satan was stripped of all his weapons. Jesus stripped him of all his weapons. He doesn't have any. So he's got to make some. He's got to form them. Well, the devil's holding me here. He's holding me here. No, what he's doing is he's got this on the inside of you. He's got no power, no authority. He just formed a weapon. Are you out there? When Jesus defeated him, when he rose from the dead, he defeated him and spoiled principalities and powers. The only thing he has today is deception. Amen. What is a formed weapon? It is a distorted false image that is formed in the mind and the intellect of a man. Amen. When that happens and you allow it, I mean, remember, we authorize these things. Right. When that happens, we empower it to work against us. It had no power till we gave it power. Amen. When you allow Satan to form an imagination in you, you make it a weapon. You're empowering it in your life. You're making it a weapon that he can use against you. Why don't you take that principle? Here's the way I think. I'm thinking more like God all the time. Why don't you take that principle, turn that around, and take God's image of you, of who you are, and begin to say that. And when you do, it becomes a weapon formed against the devil to defeat him. Praise God. Praise God. That's what Ephesians 6:17 is. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take that weapon. Take that image of who you are in Christ. Those truths of God's Word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. The Word. Take the Word, the truth of those words. Plant them on the inside of you, those images of who he says you are. And whenever he brings a weapon of a deception against you, you take the weapon of the truth and answer it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Why don't you let God form some weapons by you taking these images and using those weapons against him? You can't fight Satan's weapons with just your own efforts. Well, I'm not going to think that thought, or I'm not going to allow that thought in my mind. You have to answer it with something that's more powerful than it. Hallelujah. So when you're quoting God's image of you, which is the Word, over yourself, but and you're looking at something very opposite, this is called, you're calling things that be not as though they were. That's called faith. And while you're doing that, you have to cast down the imaginations of what's coming against your mind from the outside. And you have to see yourself with the eye of faith. And you hold the devil in that arena,
yeah, sir,
you'll whoop him every single time.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, did you get anything out of that?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. No man can escape these principles. No man can escape the principles that... What I mean by that is that what you're looking at, your life will start going that direction. What images are on the inside of your life will start going. No man can escape that principle, but he can switch what he's looking at. He can wash out the old wrong images and form the images of God that God has of him, and then make it work in reverse against the devil and whoop the devil with it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I tell you, so many times in so many lives, it's the invisible that's moving the visible. You have to hear that the way I say it. What do I mean whenever I say it's the invisible that moves the visible? I mean that your life in this physical realm will begin to go the direction of what you're looking at on the inside.
That's right.
Amen. The invisible. You're looking at something that's invisible. But that'll start moving the visible that direction. Amen. It's a lot of people. One thing we learned about pastoring is that sometimes you're like, well, this person in this area just keeps struggling and struggling. After a while, you have to realize it's what they're seeing on the inside. They can change that, which they can. Praise God. We told you how to do that tonight. They can change their whole experience. And what seemed impossible their whole life, now all of a sudden, it's easy.
Amen?
But see, one of the greatest, Pastor Nancy said, the Lord said to her one time, one of your greatest enemies is your past. In other words, the way it's always been. Or the way you were in the past, or what happened in the past, or something like that. How many of you know Peter denied Jesus? Paul killed Christians. Rahab was a harlot. You could go on and on through the Bible. They had a past, but they were all mightily used of God. How? Because they let God wash that out of them. They let God. Listen, you're unusable to God until these things get washed out. I said, you're not usable to God. Because God will say, hail, thou mighty man of valor, like he did to Gideon. And you go, that ain't me. He must be talking to somebody else.
Come on now.
So you're not usable because you won't respond.
That's right.
Not because God can't, but you won't respond because you don't see or you don't identify yourself as who He said you are. Gideon's hiding in the threshing floor from the Philistines, and hail thou mighty man of valor.
Yes. Come on.
Called him a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding from the enemy. God's just like that. He'll call you something you don't look like you are. But here's your response. Yep, that's me. Hello, hello.
Amen.
That's me, God. Right here, right here, right here.
Amen.
And the devil says, you are not. You say, shut up.
Yep.
I call myself what God said I am.
Yes.